On our Monday open line, one listener asked for more programming on history topics, and another asked for a show about the controversy over teaching history that is going on in Colorado and some other states. Today, we will follow up with a discussion on how history should be taught in schools. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, October 2nd. Do you think, like some school board members in Colorado, that there is too much America bashing going on in history classes? Or do you think our children are only being taught lessons that put America in a good light and avoid the darker periods of U.S. history? How should history be taught? That's what we will talk about this hour. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We'll talk with a guest history professor who says history education needs a balance. And we'll wonder if you agree. Let me welcome our guest. Brett Barker is an associate professor of history at the University of Wisconsin-Marathon County. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
Well, I know that you are not, you know, an expert on everything going on in Colorado or Texas or South Carolina. Apparently, some other states have similar disputes going on, but apparently there is a controversy over some school board members. I thought that there needed to be more patriotic history being taught, and there was going to be a review committee that was going to be formed that would review the history courses in Jefferson County in Colorado. They were going to make sure that the history courses promoted citizenship, patriotism, essentials and benefits of the free market system, respect for authority, and respect for individual rights, and that the courses would not encourage or condone civil disorder, social strife, or disregard of the law. And some school board members are saying that there's just far too much America bashing going on in history class. What's your general reaction to what's going on in Colorado?
Well, my first reaction would be, I'm not exactly sure to begin with what would constitute America bashing. I mean, that would be my first question for the school board, because I'm not sure what that would constitute. If you're criticizing things that America and Americans have done in the past, then are you America bashing? Because certainly any American history course is likely to do that at different points in our history. So first of all, I think that is sort of a term that needs better definition.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I think is very confusing is you mentioned that they said that no U.S. history course should encourage or condone to civil disorder, social strife, or disregard of the law. And again, I guess my question would be, under what conditions would that happen? And I'll give you an example. When I teach a course on either Civil War history or Wisconsin history, two topics that I'm very interested in, I mentioned that during the Civil War in Port Washington, Wisconsin, there was a draft riot. Now, in response to that information, I have never had a student suggest that they ought to go riot as a result. In other words, what exactly would the mechanism be? Learning about this civil disorder in the past, is the idea that then students would be likely to engage in some sort of rioting as a result? That seems not to make much sense to me. I don't know. It's an unlikely outcome.
Have you been aware of this type of controversy in the past? Is this something that has come up before, what's being taught in history class?
Yeah, particularly in K-12 education, I think. I think that, fortunately, there's probably less of that at the college level, and so I'm not day-to-day. I don't really concern myself with those things. I mean, I concern myself with, you know, how to be fair and sort of a presentation of the American past, but I don't have a lot of external pressures on telling me what I can and can't teach in the classroom. But I do know that that is a longstanding, and I think in some ways that has been a growing debate. You mentioned yourself that there are several states now where there is a lot of pressure on K-12 teachers and the way they present American history.
Yeah, and there is, it's complicated. And again, we're not going to necessarily go in great depth here, but some of this has to do with advanced placement courses in these high schools to prepare kids for college. Do you feel that when students come to your classroom, they're well prepared?
I think that overall they are. I will say that sometimes there is a tension there, that in K-12 education, certainly part of what you're doing is creating an element of civics. There's an element of sort of citizenship that is very much a part of the history course. And sometimes they do not receive information that is sort of negative about the American past. And that may be pressure being placed on teachers. That may be a lot of things. And so what I try to bring to the classroom is a balance of both good and bad things that happened in the American past. But certainly I don't shy away from some of the things in the American past that, frankly, they need to be aware of. And I think my purpose there is to help them understand that democracy is a process. And part of being part of that process is engaging in a debate and questioning, are we doing the best we can as a nation and as a society? And I think partly the lessons of the past can help us understand the way Americans have been struggling that since the very birth of this nation.
Well, certainly there's that old adage that we're doomed to repeat history if we don't understand it.
Absolutely. And I think that's giving them an awareness of what has occurred in the past. And, you know, I sometimes say history doesn't exactly repeat itself, but it rhymes a lot. That is, that there are certain commonalities with the past that I think they are aware of, and I actually think helps them make history more relevant in their lives when they understand that Americans have been debating these questions throughout American history. And that involves sometimes controversy and involves sometimes groups that have suffered discrimination. That's part of this nation's past. I don't know any way to be an informed citizen and get around that.
But could it be argued that teaching, especially, K through 12 students, bad parts of our history or discouraging parts of our history, that could discourage them from being patriotic or being an engaged citizen?
Right. Well, that again depends on what you consider to be an engaged patriotic citizen to be. And I would argue that a citizen who doesn't really understand the past really can't be truly patriotic, because they're being patriotic about something that never existed. That is, you can be proud of your nation and still be aware of its foibles in the past, and that being a critical kind of viewer, you need a critical view in order to really have an appreciation. I also would say the other reason I think that's important is there are many leaders in the American past who for many reasons are quite admirable and noteworthy, but none of them were perfect. And to put them as a perfect person, I think creates in some ways an unrealistic idea of what a leader today might be. It can lead to cynicism, I think. Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, they were admirable people. They weren't perfect. And so if we make them out to be perfect and to have absolutely no warts in their past, no shortcomings, then how could a modern leader possibly ever live up to that?
Yeah. Certainly, you have to take the age of the student in mind, don't you? I mean, maybe there are some students too young to learn about some of the darker periods of U.S. history?
I think you have to be careful about what you expose them to. An example that often comes up is the question of slavery. I would not be hesitant at all, most fifth grade curriculums, and certainly in Wisconsin, in U.S. history, to include a discussion of slavery. That said, I wouldn't necessarily bring up some of the more gory details necessarily at that age. There are age-appropriate things, but to introduce the concept of slavery and that it once existed in the United States is something I actually think students can handle. I think sometimes a lot of this sells students short. Students are much more savvy and much more able to process information than sometimes I think people give them credit for. I'm not as worried about that. I'd be careful about, I don't think there's a need for excess necessarily gore just to provide gory details to be doing it. That's in a gratuitous way. But concepts like slavery and discrimination, I think fairly young students can handle.
We're talking with Brett Barker. He's an associate professor of history at UW-Marathon County, and we are talking about teaching a balanced history education. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your history education experience. Do you feel that your K through 12 history classes were were adequate, the right mix of good and bad parts of U.S. history. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In light of the protests going on in Colorado about a planned curriculum review of history courses to make sure that they are teaching the right things being patriotism and not to be American bashing. And we're talking with a history professor, not in specifics about what's going on in Colorado, but what should history education be? How should history be taught? And we wonder if you think you were taught the appropriate amount of history in your high school days, if you think students today are getting that or not, why or why not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Brett Barker, an associate professor of history at UW Marathon County. Well, I know that there's been a lot of talk lately about kids not knowing enough about civics. Where does a good civics education come into play, Brett Barker?
Well, I think that is important. I mean, one thing I would say that I think almost everybody would agree on is that it is important that students become knowledgeable about the democracy in which they live, and we want them to be engaged, participatory citizens. And I think an element of that is history, is one element. It's also important to understand government and the way government works, but to understand the American past and the way the ideals that this nation was founded under and the way that Americans have struggled ever since to make real those ideals. I think that's something that every student would be served well by being exposed to as part of their education.
Yeah. How does learning history help us become engaged citizens?
Well, I think partly I would say the answer to that is that much of what I think many people find admirable about the American past is when people saw injustices and they worked to right those wrongs. And so, while some people like the school board in Colorado might think that a discussion of slavery is somehow American bashing, I'd also say that a discussion of slavery should also include those who fought, white and black alike, to end that institution. And those, in many ways, are people that are engaged in heroic struggles to right what they saw as a wrong and to make this country more consistent with its own ideals stated at the beginning in the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm. Well, back to what is being at least discussed in Colorado. Apparently, there is a meeting in Colorado of the school board tonight, and there certainly might be some adjustments to this proposed curriculum review committee. But some of the things that they wanted to ensure that the courses contained the essentials and benefits of the free market system. Does that mean that means that you only talk about capitalism and not about other forms of government?
Yeah. Well, again, I think it gets really tricky when you start to prescribe specific things in exactly the way they ought to be taught, because it's very difficult to define who ought to be deciding that and exactly even what those mean. As you said yourself, that sort of, again, I would suggest that the American past is very much part of that story is economics, but it is not always, there have been good and bad things that have come out from a free market economy. And I think discussing the pros and cons is important. Again, that's this matter of balance. And so I think that only presenting the good parts of any system is not going to serve students well. And another thing I would say is students are very smart in, just as I think these students in Colorado have been, in they can understand when someone is trying to pull a fast one on them. I think they're very critical and very savvy about understanding when a particular viewpoint is trying to be pressed on them, and I think they resist it by their very nature. So I'm not even sure a system like this would work if there was an attempt instituted.
Yeah. So maybe we should talk a little bit more about the age appropriateness of history, and in terms of, as you mentioned, maybe elementary school students can be certainly taught that that slavery happened, but don't need all of the gory details. I mean, how do history professors decide? This is something that we'll talk about, and this goes too far.
Right. Well, in college, I would have to say that pretty much there aren't a lot of. I think now by college we're dealing with adults, and mm-hmm. I find them more than willing to engage in material that can be challenging and troubling. And I think they actually want that. They want to be exposed to what they see as what really happened. They don't really want me as a filter. They want me to present, you know, sort of what I know about the past and challenge them to make their own conclusions about it. That's particularly, I think, at a college age, they're often questioning the world, and they want to find out sort of what they want to make their own decisions and make their own conclusions. And so there really aren't topics that I will avoid in a college history classroom. I find students want to be open to whatever is appropriate to the course material.
Yeah. Andy on Facebook says, true patriotism is examining your past missteps to make the nation better. The new Colorado textbooks are jingoistic, not patriotic, and the students are the ones showing the true patriotism. A reaction to that?
I would agree with that. I mean, I think that is what patriotism in the end is really based on, is a critical understanding of a nation's history and not simply a sugar-coated, sort of simplified version that ignores places where any country has misstepped, including our own.
We are talking with Brett Barker, an associate professor of history at UW-Marathon County, talking about what is appropriate to teach in history and what is not. What do you think about what's happening in Colorado, the protests over the pro-patriotic curriculum in history classes? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Brett Barker about the importance of a balanced history education and some age-appropriate history education, and wondering what you think. Do you think that we need a balance of the good and the bad in history education? So what do you think are the dangers, Brett Barker, in presenting what some would call a whitewashed version of history?
I think it gives, what I would say is that the patriotism that would be based on that view of American history would be in some ways a very unsatisfying, shallow one, because if you are not aware of the full complexity of American history, then your assertions about what makes America great can be easily dismissed by others, and you need to know what the arguments are about what's been good and bad. And also think that, again, I would stress that a lot of good has come out for people fighting for justice and equality throughout our history, and knowing that story requires us also to know what they were fighting against. And so I think that's the sort of balance that I think will create a much more complex and nuanced understanding of the American past that can lead to, a much more fuller and satisfying sort of sense of love of America and country.
Well, I know you've been just following this issue in the news as much as many of us has. But what do you hope? What do you hope happens in Colorado with a dispute like this?
Well, I think it's great that students have been energized in the way they have. They've clearly, it's good to see students caring so much about their own education. And that, again, goes to my point that we often sell students short and don't give them enough credit for the way in which they're pretty aware of what's going on, and they want to be challenged, and they want to be given a full view of things like the American past. And so I'm glad to see that they've become active. They are truly acting in that long tradition of Americans, when they don't like what's going on, they feel the right to voice their opinions and to act to try to bring about what they see as a more just sort of future.
All right. John in Madison is with us. Unfortunately, just a minute before news time, John.
Well, this problem is one that's been going on forever in this country. History teaching was absolutely horrible when I was in high school. And it's because the state and also our economic system, the corporate capitalist system, wants education to be an adjunct to their own propaganda apparatus. In other words, they don't want dissension. It's anti-democratic, because you perceive something unless you have a context to stick it in. And what I got in high school eliminated the persecution of the Native Americans, the African Americans, the transcontinental imperialism, the present imperialism we're involved in. The state, and this is found in every country. This isn't unique to this country.
Right, and I'm going to leave it there. We'll talk about what John had to say after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a history professor about teaching history. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our conversation is prompted in part by the controversy going on in Colorado. There is a fight going on in Colorado over how United States history is taught. It has pitted the new conservative majority on a suburban Denver school board against the students and teachers who are accusing the board of censorship. The students and teachers are protesting possible changes to the new advanced placement history course. Hundreds have turned out to demonstrate, holding signs saying there is nothing more patriotic than protest and teach us the truth. School board members say that they want to make sure that the history course, accused of having an anti-American bias by some conservatives, is balanced. So we are talking about whether there should be a push to make sure history classes are pro-patriotic, pro-American, or what exactly does it mean to have a balanced approach to history? That's what we're talking with our guest about and welcoming your thoughts and comments about. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Brett Barker, an associate professor of history at UW-Marathon County. And Brett, just before the news, we heard from John in Madison, who feels he did not get a very accurate view of history. He was not taught a lot of things in high school, like, as he put it, the persecution of the Native Americans, the persecution of African Americans, and that he was blaming the government, saying the government doesn't want us to be smart. They want us to be pawns. First off, what's your reaction to his general comment?
Well, I think what you see in John is actually, I think, one of the dangers of what the Colorado School Board is trying to do. You can sense that John is upset because he feels like he was not given a full view of American history when he was in school, and he's now angry that information was not given to him. And I think he would probably be as upset at probably the school board as anybody else in retrospect. And when John went to school, that was probably more the case. One of the things that I think has been a very positive change over the last 40 years is that American history has become much more about everybody in the American past. And I think a lot of what he was complaining about was that there were entire groups simply not included in what he was exposed to. And he mentioned African Americans and American Indians. Generations ago, I think there was an almost exclusive emphasis on sort of politics and the military, and those institutions through much of our history have been controlled by white men, and so therefore you get a very white male view of the American past. And I think in the last 40 years, we've really tried to address that and say, no, we need to look at everybody in the American past and explore their experiences. And so I would hope that today he would have a better experience than he did when he went to school. But you can see what results. You get people who are upset and angry, just like John is in Madison and those students are in Colorado, when they feel that they're somehow not being given a full view of what happened.
Let's go back to the phones. Our next caller is Peter in Madison. Hello, Peter.
Yeah, hi. Well, I guess I come from a different point of view from the fellow you had on earlier. You know, I don't know if you've said it, I assume you have, but in a history class in lately, you know, nobody talks about all the folks that complain and protest in this country about how horrible America is or what we're doing or being taught. You know, in any other system, probably in history, if you speak out against the government or the people in power, you're put in jail, or you're hung in the city hall. It's not, you know, it what we have here is the opportunity to do all of that, and you talk about history and the white man being in charge of the government. What conflict in history against with two countries or problems have ever been settled without either the threat or the use of power? You know, people don't just get along to say, oh, can't we just talk it out? You know, and nobody wants to talk about the hard decisions that have to be made as a country and as leaders in the world. It's all about, oh, let's just talk about how awful we treated people. Well, let's talk about what we did for people, or who we've helped, and what we did in good. Of course, every country has their scars, but it seems like we want to go all the way back and just talk about our scars and not talk about the great things we did. And that's a horrible thing to do.
Oh, well, why don't we talk a little bit, Brett Barker, yeah, about our history classes only talking about our scars right now and not about the great things that we do?
Well, I think what I've been saying this hour so far is that a good history class draws a balance. And so, yes, I mean, the caller is right in saying that any good history course in American history is going to talk about politics and war. He's absolutely right in saying that to leave that out would simply be to offer another incomplete picture. I'd also say that he's also right to say that one of the great things about the American past is that people have had the ability to protest, to voice their concerns about things. And so what I would say is those are all important things that should and I believe are being taught in the classroom. The only thing I would say is that's not all the experience, though. The experience also is of everybody. And so, yes, the good things and the bad things need to be combined to provide a more complex picture. And I don't think we're giving up, certainly in my classroom, we're not giving up when people acted well, or to point out, for instance, just how amazing the ideals of the American Revolution continue to be. They were astounding in 1776, and they continue to challenge and inspire people in the United States and around the world. And I think that's also part of the story. That's the balance that I think we're trying to talk about. But to talk about how great those ideals are is also to be aware of when we've fallen short, because we need to examine every day how we're doing. I always think of what Lincoln's quote, when people would start to get get lost in a lot of the details about an argument, he would say, can we all do better? And I think that's the challenge of presenting both the good and where we've come up short. That's a balance that will produce, I think, a much more full and complex and useful history.
Keith in Beaver Dam is with us now. Hello, Keith.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I agree with many of the points the professor makes, but my question for him is, many of like facts of like the Civil War and Custer's Last Stand, just to give a few examples, the history was maybe written wrong. And what role do you think forensic archaeology is playing in correcting some of these stories or myths about history?
That's a really interesting question. One of the things I would say is that historians are very good at sort of stealing from other disciplines whenever we find it useful, and certainly when there are things where there are not a lot of written records, or whether a lot of things are sort of lost, as he says, in sort of myth, archaeologists, anthropologists can be very useful to us. An entire branch of history called ethnohistory sort of listens to Native people's stories, but also looks at archaeological evidence, tries to find every piece of evidence we can to recapture the past. That's another way I think we've tried to do better in recent generations, is that while written sources are important and they're always in some ways at the heart of what we do, they can't capture everyone's past, because I would suggest that many people listening to us right now, many of your ancestors didn't leave any written records behind. So if we only look at written records, this is the way history was often done in the past, then a lot of their stories are lost as well. And so archaeology is, in fact, one of the great tools that we can use and borrow from to gain insights in the past. He's absolutely correct.
We are talking about how to teach history. And the controversy that's going on in Colorado and similar ones in other states, in a Denver suburb, a new conservative school board majority recently proposed a curriculum review committee to promote patriotism, respect for authority and free enterprise, and to guard against educational materials that encourage or condone civil disorder. And in response, hundreds of students and teachers and parents have been protesting. We are talking not about the specifics of what's going on in Colorado, but that thought in general. Should history classes be more pro-American? Are they too anti-American now? How do we find that balance? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about teaching history, teaching history in a balanced way. Brett Barker is our guest, an associate professor of history at UW-Marathon County. He says that history education needs a balance of the good and the bad parts of American history. And we are welcoming your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Craig in Onalaska is with us now. Hello, Craig.
Good morning. It's my impression that history is a study of what has happened in the past, and these people in Denver are trying to basically change history in order to form a, more of a political movement than the study of history. They are forgetting that this country was founded on civil disobedience. If we hadn't had civil disobedience, the Revolutionary War would not have been fought, and therefore this country would not exist today. So I'm strongly opposed to what they're doing in Colorado.
History is what happened. And Brett Barker, your reaction to that?
Well, that's a really good point. One of the things I would love to ask the school board in Colorado is, how exactly would you teach the American Revolution? Because I think that many people today like to think, well, Americans like to compromise and they like to get along. This nation was born in a violent revolution, and there's no getting around that. It's who we are. And so there's no way to get around the fact that there are moments that the American past includes violence, protest, people being upset. That is part of what, and as one caller said, it's one of the great things about this country is that people have been able to do that, and that people have been willing to do that. And so, yes, that's the danger of sort of avoiding anything that touches on protest or violence or conflict, because there's not much left of interest. Sort of that's a lot of our story.
Here's an email from Andrea. My eyes were opened when I took my first history class in my undergrad years. I knew about the less glamorous things that the U.S. had done, but it was very much sugar-coated. I felt like I was lied to throughout my previous schooling. Brett, do you think Andrea's experience is typical?
I think many people feel that way. I don't know how typical it is, but I think a lot of people feel that they have not been given the whole story, and they do like in the college level that we talk about things. I think it makes people in the past more human, too. For some very understandable reasons, certain topics that have to do with, violence, but also things like perhaps alcohol and sex. Those things often don't come up in classrooms in K-12, but they are part of the American past. People in the past engaged in those activities, and that's part of what they were. And my students sometimes find them much more real and much less sort of just marble statues that they can't relate to.
Yeah. Let's go next to Aaron in Wausau. Hi, Aaron.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
I guess my comment would be the only thing that actually turns out to be accurate from school that I've learned is the reading, writing, and arithmetic, and everything else has been exaggerations or information left out and really not truthful.
Well, for example, Aaron?
Well, our relationships with the Indians, how things came to be, our form of government, how it works, civics, everything else.
Yeah, you think it was all right. Wrong?
The dates might have been right with a few things, but actually our dealings with a lot of things were inaccurate.
Yeah, so...
Cause of wars, lots of things.
How did you come to that conclusion, Aaron?
Because I am into history.
Yeah, Aaron told our producer that he had to teach himself the truth, Brett Barker.
Well, I think, again, that's the danger of what's going on in Colorado, is that if people are given a particular viewpoint of the American past, then they will be very upset, as clearly Aaron is, when he feels that he wasn't told things that were truthful. I'm glad Aaron went out and found them out on his own. I think one of the things that a good history education should do is whet your appetite to learn more, because certainly there's more about the past than can ever be included in any sort of K-12 history course or even a survey course in American history at the undergraduate level. And there is now a wealth of information out there that's much more readily available. So I'm glad Aaron has done that. And I'm glad Aaron, I hope he continues to sort of explore his own sort of explorations of the past. I do think the other thing that happens is when people get older, they often gain a greater appreciation for history. And I think that's sort of natural. And you see a lot of people who were not interested in history as young people, when they become older, they gain a much greater sort of enjoyment of it and an interest in it. And I think that's very healthy, too.
Oh, it just reminded me of, I didn't get to finish all of it, but like older people can keep on learning about history by, certainly with the books, but watching things like the Roosevelts on Wisconsin Public Television.
At WPR is a great source for sort of those sort of things. The American Experience is a program that's been on PBS for, I think, over 25 years now that has really good hour programming about the American past that I think a lot of people really enjoy watching.
Yeah. And I know I've seen things and I have thought, my gosh, how did I not know this? How did I, live five decades and I didn't know this?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the continuing experience. We have people who come to our classes here as auditors, as senior auditors who come and take history classes, and they enjoy sort of going back and revisiting old topics that they hadn't thought about since they were in school many years ago. And I think that's just fantastic. It's great for our classes. It's great for our students. And I think it's great for the senior auditors as well.
Bill in Waukesha is with us. Hi, Bill.
Hi. How you doing?
Good. What do you think?
I think that it's a dangerous thing when government steps in and puts in their own views of what's going on or censors things out. You gotta wonder why they're doing that. Benjamin Franklin, when he signed the Declaration of Independence, I believe he said that I've given you a republic, you can keep it. Now, what does that mean? It means that people are going to always try to take that away for their own agendas, and I think that's what's going on here.
Reaction, Brett?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that's always because even if you, I think the danger is sometimes people say, well, a particular government administration, school board agrees with the way I see things. But the problem is that may not always be the case. So probably it's best to keep people out of it, just to not have a particular viewpoint, not have people making decisions. The idea of a committee of school board members who I'm sure are well-meaning, but that's sort of troubling to think that they would say this is in and this is out. I'm not sure exactly. They wouldn't really be basing that, I fear, on sort of a an understanding of the past, but again, on sort of political agendas. And that's dangerous no matter what your political perspective is.
Yeah, I think one of the school board members was talking about keeping ideology out of history class. But I guess, what about his ideology?
Yeah, well, and ideology is part of the past. I mean, Thomas Paine and Common Sense offered a particular ideology about the way government works, and there's no way to leave that out. Now, that doesn't mean you need to either say this is the right one or the wrong one. I think that it's just like trying to leave religion out of the American past. To say that religion has been an important part of this nation's history is undeniable. That's not to say that you then need to go on and advocate for a particular religious tradition, but to say that religion has been part of this nation's history since its founding.
Bob in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Bob.
Good morning.
Morning.
The thing that I think that's just been really overlooked in teaching history has been the Red Scare of 1919 and HUAC. I really think that that's something that needs to be pointed out to young people these days.
So is that being taught these days?
Very interesting. Yeah, I think particularly he's talking about the first Red Scare following World War One. I think that's not as well known in the general public as certainly the second Red Scare, sort of what's often referred to as McCarthyism, is not as well known. But that's another fascinating story where there was a real attempt to go after people of dissenting opinions right after World War One, and that's a That always becomes sort of a dangerous part of the American past, I think, when there's an attempt to sort of limit people's ability to think freely for themselves. That's always a danger, and that's occurred periodically throughout the American past, and he brings up one that I think is not as well known. I think that's absolutely true.
So in our final minute, how do you see history education changing or adapting in response to these types of pressures?
Right. Well, I hope in some ways that what we continue to do is try to offer an honest view as best we can do. I mean, we all have biases and viewpoints we need to be aware of, but as best we can to offer an honest and sort of full view of the American past being about everybody in the American past and their experiences. And I think that that is the thing that will make students more interested in history and also, I think, create a more useful and fuller patriotism.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Brett Barker, an associate professor of history at UW Marathon County. Thanks to Brianne Chasso and Cynthia Schuster for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. Much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, we're going to talk about fall fun and the best fall drives to take in Wisconsin to Leaf Peep. That's tomorrow on Tell Joy Where to Go. Tomorrow at this time is also the start of our fall pledge drive. It'll be fun. Please join us. This is the Ideas Network.